You can say I'm full of shit, but I just got a tube up my butt that says otherwise.
Forget padam padam. The summer is all about Tulum Tulum.
You guys, we just had a little biz talk for like about 6 hours. Yeah, you've been here all morning.
Since yesterday, it seems.
And yesterday, was I here? I was, but was I really? Also no. Not. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode. And I'm so excited to have my very first historic post-endoscopy and colonoscopy episode.
Yes.
It's a special ep.
Love that.
Because I'm cutting out all the bullshit, because there's no more that exists inside my body except
spewing our thoughts from both ends.
Quite literally, except, well, so last night my throat was a little scratchy.
Of course.
The baby, because I had a tube down it. But
I hate that feeling.
Right?
Having also had tubes down my throat.
Truly.
For surgeries. Yeah.
So they told me, even though when I Googled Reddit, Google Reddit told me otherwise, but they said I had no restrictions after the colonoscopy as far as food. So I said, okay, I'm running with that. So I had too much, but now my tummy is like, literally, what did you just do? Because there was nothing inside. I had a 2 day prep.
Yeah.
2 day liquid diet for 2.5 days.
They're like, yes, nothing is going to like damage you, but it doesn't mean you won't feel terrible when you eat.
Oh my God, I felt so bad. And then I woke up this morning, I was like, everything has gone terribly awry.
Oh, no. Well, now I'm here and we're in 2 coffees in.
I know, because I haven't had coffee in days.
Oh God.
Listen.
I think I would just end up sleeping for 2 days if that's what was, well, no, because you can't, because you're ingesting gallon of milky gross crap.
Well, that was the other thing, because I'm convinced, as I think most people are, that the anesthesia is gonna work on everybody else but not me. So I had that conversation of like, I don't think it's gonna work, like I feel like it's not. And then I wake up and you know,
and you're like, whoa, what happened?
And I'm truly like living my best life. I put on my sunglasses in recovery, so yes. I was like in a bed connected to whatever, truly talking to nurses, shooting the shit, getting the hot goss. There was a guy next to me who's very attractive.
That's tough.
During his procedure, so he knows my entire medical history, I know his, but I forget his first
name. Was he also having a colonoscopy?
He was having a colonoscopy and endoscopy. I'm not breaking the Lord's HIPAA. He's had like a series of medical issues, so I thought like in our vows,
oh yeah,
like New York Times, but also IRL, we could like reference this fun little meet cute. And he like looked like a guy that I dated, which,
well, that's an immediate,
right?
You're like, oh, okay, well, this will
I know this. Yeah, I know this.
I can do this.
Comfortable. But then I didn't see him again.
Well,
I only saw him when he was, you know, using, I only saw his physical body when he was crossing into like the intake area, and then he got carted away, and then I got carted away.
I have never been in a medical setting where I've gotten to like have a fun, like sexy, like, you know, just even just seeing someone else that is like remotely attractive, because like every time I have surgery, like I have orthopedic like spine surgery, and that's like just old people. It's always just like people in their 60s and 70s, which I guess I'm like slowly approaching that age group at this point, but there's never anybody like fun, like in recovery or like at my office. It's always like people with walkers, and I'm like, this sucks.
Well, and also it's tough when like, so my doctor's like fellow, like not like gentleman person, but like fellow, came in to like ask me questions. So she's asking me like specific GI related questions, and I was just like whispering, because it's just curtains. I'm like, don't let the cute guy know, like you can't ask me about that. Like this is, we should be having proper conversation.
Yes. I don't want to talk about my bloating.
Truly, which came up.
Of course it did. That's what
this came
about.
Up. I also have to say, so it was my second time attempting to have a colonoscopy, first time where it was actually successful, because the first time it was attempted, it got canceled because I had like a neuro reaction, whatever. So I was having a full on, I had 4 doctors I was connecting with this past week. I was extremely, extremely stressed out, because I was like, if this goes wrong again, I'm not doing this. I'm not trying this a third time. But it, I honestly have to say, like, I know that people are terrified of getting colonoscopies, and I have a specific.
I desperately want one.
Do you?
Well, I'm just there's so many reports coming out that like the rates of colon and rectal cancer for young people is going up, 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 up. And like anytime I have like any digestive discomfort, I'm like, I have colon cancer. Like that's immediately my first thought. And I'm like, why can't, if you're supposed to get it at 45, I'm 40. Give it to me.
Whoa. You're 26.
Thank you. Okay, yes, of course. I'm 26.
No, they keep, like, NBC News and whomever, Daily Mail, keep doing the whole thing of, like, you're all going to die of colon cancer.
Right.
Which is, like, give me a second to digest this information and also my lunch. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, before
that's the problem.
100%. So then I was thinking,
Can you digest it?
I was totally thinking that too when I was like going in. I was like, this is it. Like,
yeah,
this is my.
Like, and not to make light of the fact that like young people are dying of this, but I'm like, if this is becoming such a thing, like,
I'm going to get it.
I like, if I go see my GI doctor, like, I'm like, can I have one? I would like to know.
Oh, yeah, you should. Because
like, then if it's like a clean bill of health, it's like, okay, I don't have to be like immediately freaked out about this every day. It's a diagnostic. Like, I don't know. I'm in a whole.
I completely agree. And I also think the ways that, you know, folks are get nervous about getting mammograms, I think the colonoscopy
mammograms are so easy breezy.
That has become, colonoscopies have become the new fear.
Yes.
I could not more highly recommend it. This is all to say I was so nervous and I had my additional like health stuff on top of like, I'm nervous. I don't know what to expect. And you know what? PrEP was, and I had 2 days of it and a 2 day liquid. Fine. Completely fine. Yeah. Could not more highly recommend. If you are of age or feel like you need to get checked over a family history or symptoms, get it done, because there's nothing like the feeling of having the colonoscopy and knowing that you did it.
Exactly.
You did the thing. For me, the fear is so much worse than just having that information. I mean, depending on the information, having that information and being able to like troubleshoot and figure that out. I couldn't more highly recommend it. And I was absolutely terrified. I really genuinely was. Could not more highly recommend.
Well, I just also feel like anything that's like fully internal, like there are things that are like that present visibly.
Chicken pox
or like
other stuff. Can't
other
think of
stuff.
Anything.
Yep. I can't think of any of
them.
I'm actually now, but I'm like, yes, but like skin cancer, your mole monitoring. Like,
sure.
If you're having like a bad, like if you're having trouble breathing, obviously the idea is like, let's go look. But like, it's like, well, let's go look inside. And I'm like, can't we just look inside a little bit more often if it's safe?
Yes.
Because like, I don't know if I was thinking about this on the way over because I like knew we were going to talk about your
pooping.
Mm. Of like, well, I have lived like my most of my life in like managing pain and in chronic pain and like having surgeries and like kind of like living with like discomfort. Mm-hmm. And like that's been from my spine stuff. And then also from like very bad, like just gynecological stuff with like having fibroids and bad periods and maybe endo. And like, they're like, well, we won't, you know, all of that stuff. I get so scared that I'm so adjusted to being uncomfortable that there is actually something inside of me just like destroying my body. And I'm not even checking it out because I'm like, yeah, you're supposed to feel bad, which is probably not true, but I that's mean, like the fear.
The
so
tolerance.
I'm like, just let us. Yeah, the tolerance is what scares me, because I'm like, oh, I won't notice this until it's way too late because I'm adjusted to living in discomfort. So I'm like, we should be able, like, you should be, I'm sorry, like, if I request a diagnostic test, my insurance should cover that.
100%.
Also, I'm in a whole thing with my insurance because they won't pay for the follow-up ultrasound, sonogram. I always get mixed up because like I have dense breast tissue. So like when I get a mammogram, they're like, yeah, we couldn't really see anything. You need to do this now. And I'm like, okay, can we skip the mammogram then moving forward? And it's very normal. And if you are somebody who's going for your first mammogram and then they request this, it does not mean anything. It just means that your breast tissue is dense. Mm. They need to look at it in a different way. Why we've stopped at mammogram and haven't like found something better since this is so many people blows my mind. But now my health insurance is trying to like not cover that, like, and I'm like, it's a medically ordered diagnostic test and I'm over the age that I need it. Like, just fucking pay for it.
Anyways. I think that there should be some sort of healthcare tribunal where it's like an esteemed panel of people and we just all say yes to every single test.
Yes.
Like, it should be us on it.
Yeah.
And like,
yes, get
Craig Conover, I think, because I think he makes really good decisions of late. And I think that we should just.
Yeah, us and Craig Conover running everybody's health insurance.
I think that would be a really smart idea. Because I will say yes to everything, which is probably why this will last about an hour and a half. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But like in that hour and a half, you're going to get checked for
Yeah, whoever comes in gets all their stuff.
Straight yes. 100%. Whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
So I guess this episode's really about like taking care of your body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Jen Aiden, because that soul needs a little bit of work to do.
Little bit of work.
We're going to get into it.
Yes.
Before we do, I should
Start with the news. Start with the news. Start with current events.
We do need to talk a little bit about current events, but first I need to introduce this person who's going to be talking about current events. You know her as a writer, comedian, and co-host of the amazing podcast Ruined. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Allison Libby. Allison, how are we?
I'm fine. I just like spilled literally my guts onto your table as we're talking.
Well, I mean, and listen, guts have been spilled in the last 24/7. So last 24 hours, the 7 days a week. Like, this is the right place to do it.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just chilling. Hot summer, just been spending it in the air conditioning with Riz the cat.
Mm.
I know. And the public pool's open tomorrow.
Why didn't they open those early? They can't afford it?
They don't open until schools are out, which I'm like,
Aren't out yet?
They just got out this week or like last week, like public schools.
That feels rude.
I know. And it's like also my friend Jake Cornell, very funny comedy person. We were talking about it and he was like, okay, it's for children. There's more of us than there are children. Like it should be based on like, and I'm like, well, at least have them open on the weekends before school gets out. Like we've been in a heat wave and the libraries are closed because Eric Adams sucks. And like, there's no cooling centers. The pools are cooling centers and fun.
What is a cooling center? Is it a gym that they just said they put a lot of portable air conditioners in? I'm dead serious.
I think that there are like gyms and like school cafeterias and stuff that function or school gyms. Like I think that there are like just big rooms, but also like the libraries are cooling centers. They keep them cool. They are supposed to be for people who don't have air conditioning to go. And if you work or want to read or just like kind of sit in the air conditioning, like they're free places to go. They're third spaces. So that's what those are. And now that the libraries are getting defunded and closed on Sundays and all this shit, there are fewer cooling centers.
There are people who do not have permanent housing. There are people whose permanent housing is not safe for them to stay for long periods of time.
Yeah.
It's and the pool, literally
the
wild.
Pools are also cooling centers in that there is some shade at them. And then also that the pools are kept like intentionally very cold all summer. They never like warm up. So they are, I mean, they're cold. But there also aren't that many of them.
I've only been to a public pool in New York City once with my friend Marie. We were extremely hot. This was many years ago. Do not yell at me. We were very hot and we went to a public pool and we just like jumped in the water.
Yeah.
Like, but like we didn't have bait. We just like literally jumped in the water.
They don't care. There's like a million rules, but like that, I think. Well,
we took off our shoes.
Yeah.
But then we jumped in the water. It was very hot. And you know what? It cooled us down. It was wonderful.
No, the pools are highly recommend. And if you live in the vicinity of one or can easily travel to one, like they're a really nice place to be and like feel part, like I feel very much like part of my community when I go to them because everybody in the area is going, you know, regardless of what building you live in or what, you know, like it's just a nice place where I'm like, we all live near this pool and we're all here because it's hot and that's nice.
And we are technically a community, are we not?
Yes.
I mean, I think.
Yes.
That's actually kind of nuts that it's scheduled according to kids' school count. Because again, there are adults who have needs.
Yes.
Those needs include going in a pool. Like,
there's also kids who aren't in school yet who would like to go to the, you know, like there's
little babies.
And like little babies. And also like I think some of the other like pre-Ks and kindergartens, like some of those end, like some of the private schools end or like just open the pools.
Wow.
Anyway, but they open tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, send me a picture of the pool or whatever.
You're not allowed to bring your phone on deck.
Oh!
Which is why I love it so much.
Why do we call it on deck? Are you on a ship? Is this below deck?
The pool deck.
Oh, I just thought of it as a pool.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Anyway, so Mazel, I guess, if you're near a pool here in New York City and if you see Eric Adams in public, just tell him to go fuck
throw
himself.
Throw a tomato at him.
A piece of shit. I mean, you know what? Someone asked me, like, who do you hate more? It might have been you. Bill de Blasio or Eric Adams?
Oh, it wasn't me, but Eric Adams.
Yeah, I think Eric Adams is more nefarious.
Yes.
But Bill de Blasio, you will never get anything from me.
No.
Truly,
terrible.
Pizza Fork, Wilhelm de Blasio, never.
He's terrible.
All right, let's continue on with this episode. Listen, some news came out.
Breaking news out of the Hamptons.
Out of the Hamptons.
Well, out of Williamsburg.
Is she in Williamsburg?
For sure.
Is she?
Yeah, that's where that apartment is.
She gives me Flatiron energy. Not Flatiron, just kidding. She gives me Tribeca energy.
No, very much in Williamsburg.
Yeah, that apartment? Oh, yeah, new housing.
Yeah.
Right off
all
the
those
ferry.
New stupid buildings.
Yeah, 100%.
That, like, buildings that look into other buildings, which, like, I guess I live in, too, but, you know.
I mean, it's fine. Listen, may her memory be a blessing. Danielle Oliveira has announced in a ground-shaking Instagram post that took all of us back. I mean, it was just...
By light rain.
Okay, so Danielle Oliveira posted, we're recording this. I don't even know. What day of the week is it? Wednesday?
Who cares?
She recorded this yesterday. And said while I was on propofol living my best life, Danielle posted and said, "Hello, my sweet loves." First off,
no,
but also I say that, so like you can't, because then it's hard for me to make fun of it because I use similar language. "Hello, my sweet loves. I want to share that I've come to the heartbreaking decision to not return as a full-time cast member on the upcoming season of Summer House. Obviously, this decision didn't come without a tremendous amount of thought. Ultimately, I just need to trust my gut. Oh, speaking of guts, my tongue. If I can't put 100% of myself into filming, genuinely and authentically. It really doesn't feel right doing it in a full-time capacity. This is what's going to happen when someone wants to file for divorce against me. They're going to send me this post. The network, production, my cast, and especially all of you deserve that. Right now, I need to protect and prioritize the things that matter most to me. My company, my people. She is a founder and CEO. And of course, myself. I'm so grateful that my NBCU, Bravo, and truly original family understand this and have supported whatever decision I choose to reach. I was fortunate enough to be able to take a step back season 4 as well, and it ended up working out better than I imagined. However I'm involved this summer, you can bet I'll be rooting for another incredible season from my summer house fam. My goodness, season 9, you guys. Best of luck and sending so much love, Danny girl. Has anyone ever called her Danny girl?
Not once.
Okay, cool.
I mean, not that I've ever heard. I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
Clearly, this was not her decision entirely.
No, you're wrong, because she told us it was twice.
Oh, yeah. So it definitely was.
She told us two separate things. That's why I started laughing so hard.
It's like, I decided, I made the heartbreaking choice. It's like, girl, this is the best thing for you, and you don't even know it. Like,
but also, it wasn't your choice.
It wasn't your choice.
Is it the best thing for her?
I mean, I am worried about her financially. I'll say that.
So it's not the best thing for
her. But I also think that, like, another season, like,
would have broken her?
She has no friends on that show.
Versus,
I mean, I think it, I don't know. They would, like, I don't know. What would she have gained out of one more season besides, like, $40,000?
Being on the, at least 100.
You think?
Being on the show, they give her at least 20% of whatever they're giving Lindsay and Carl. She would have gotten paid and would have been on the show, which she wanted to. I don't think this is a situation where it's like, your other options are great. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I guess, like, what is the other option? I don't know. Like, she just had such a bad run of, like, last summer, Winter House, and then this summer. Like, when I say last summer, I mean last season of Summer House. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lindsay Carl engagement, the Winter House nightmare of her and Alex. It was a bad look for her. I don't know if you watched.
I did, and I missed out.
Oh, it was tough. It was legitimately hard to watch.
She was, like, begging someone to, like, make out with her, right?
She, like, hooked up with him, like, early on in the, like, 9 days that the show takes place over, and then spent kind of, like, and she was fresh out of her breakup. So, like, I get you're a mess. Mm. And I guess she had, like, maybe tried to get back together with Robert, and he was like, no. And then she goes on this, like, Winter House thing. And then she, like, you know, hooks up with this, like, handsome guy from Below Deck. And then, like, he's also flirting with other people, and she just, like, kind of loses it. And, like, she's trying to be cool, but she can't. And it's just, and I felt for her. Like, it was a bad look, but I felt for her, because I was like, you're coming out of a thing. I get it. You probably shouldn't have been on the show, because I don't think you were ready. Mm. But then until this past summer, the most recent season of Summer House, also just, like, the way she treated Gabby, the way she, like, sided with Kyle versus Amanda, like, all, like, the whole her and Paige. Also, like, she's an idiot, because, like, she should have been so nice to and buddied up with Paige for her business. Like, get over your shit.
Oh.
Paige is a fucking fashion influencer, and Paige is the one who was, like, making fun of her in confessionals, being like, what company? Like, and I think that that's what she got really upset about in the reunion, being like, what you say is hurtful. Like, you're making fun of my company. That's my money. And it's like, but you are stupid for not, like, or you made the dumb choice of not, like, putting whatever your shit is aside and, like, slowly buddying up to Paige and, like, getting close with her and Sierra, who are both successful influencers in certain ways. And, like, and Gabby's a fashion writer. Like, what are you doing?
Gabby's a legit fashionista. Like, Gabby understands.
Not get enough of Gabby this season.
No, we need more.
I would like a spinoff of just, like, I'm like, follow her around with the camera all day. I want to know everything she's thinking, saying, and doing, and eating, and talking, and, like, all of the stuff.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, Danielle, I'm like, you are not a good businesswoman if this is how you were doing things. Because, like, those three could have really helped your app if they were on your side. And they would have seen a benefit for, like, they, you know. But they don't like you.
Okay, counter. She's a founder CEO.
So like you just don't support other women, Allison Ivy.
Do you? There are rumors that like she has or wants to or did hook up with Carl again or something.
What?
There's like people that are like, I think that happened and that's why she's leaving. And no, I'm like,
that's just
no.
stupid. You can't just put that out there. Yeah. When would she have? No, LOL. No, that plays into her narrative of like, she's still choosing this. She's not going to fuck that man. He doesn't have sex. What's
doesn't
she going
to?
That would be the worst case scenario.
She's talked about
for her.
How he doesn't have sex.
100%. That would be the worst case scenario for her is being with someone whose love language does not include physical touch.
Yeah.
Even though he said that was his number one love language.
Oh, just like tight hugs.
Which. Never could be me.
Mm-mm.
Couple questions.
Hit me.
So I just looked up her app on Apple Podcasts. So like what's the vibe there? Because she was the worst dressed person by far at the reunion.
If you were like you have to show up to the reunion now from right now. I'm wearing like
you'd be better.
Old Navy slash Gap, like basically pajamas that I'm like, these are clothes for summer.
You look great.
And I haven't showered and I would still look better than she did in terms of like meshing with what everybody else was doing.
Do you think that they did that to mess with her? Because she was the only one in glitter.
And everybody else did kind of coordinate in some way.
Everyone else coordinated perfectly. And her glam was bad.
Her glam was like, I'm like, that person either hates you or should be like out of the industry.
After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. And she's so beautiful.
I think she's like one of the more beautiful girls we've seen come on these shows. Yeah. Like her hair, her skin, like she is pretty.
Gorgeous.
And like that, like, 40s finger waves with the like bright rosy cheek and the heavy eye.
Yeah.
So tell me what you think about the app, Dawn.
So I think that she watched Clueless, maybe having some edibles and was like, I can do that. But I just don't know that she has the depth for it. And also, is she doing this because she works? Because she's like a finance bro and she's thinking, or is she doing this because she has a genuine interest in fashion? Because to me, as you said, Paige, I think that's a perfect example and a great idea. Partner with someone who, I mean, Paige's fashion is like the best of Zara, but she has a great
But she has
eye.
A real eye and a point of view.
Sure.
And she's been doing like,
yes,
here's what I saw on the runway. I found it for less. Here's what I'm doing.
Yes.
I'm pairing these things. Like she's always going through a rack of clothes and like making outfits. She's literally who you want involved in
100%.
This.
Elizabeth Filarski, the look for less.
Yes.
Rhode Island native.
That's right.
You can be someone who works in fashion. She doesn't have to have, you know.
Then replaced by Johanna.
Oh, yeah?
From America's Next Top Model Season 2, the winner.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. Used to love that show on the Style Network.
So into it. It just doesn't, it to me doesn't entirely make sense. Like the idea of, I know that Danielle's approaching it potentially as a business person.
I think she's thinking of it as like a finance app like, she's thinking of it from like fintech, quote unquote, which is what she used to work in, finance technology.
But if you're doing that as a celebrity, which is who she right. is, it needs to connect to whatever your Bravo brand is.
I like, think she likes buying clothes.
Who doesn't? You're in the Clawfish.
I mean, I love buying clothes. I'm going to buy clothes after this, after I buy a sandwich.
I have a specific sense of style, but I'm not, but I don't work in fintech, I guess is the number one. And also, we're not saying fintech makes me think that you're a shark. And she's not a shark.
I know.
She's not going to make it out of Shark Tank.
Sharks, I have a pitch.
But like, literally, what's the idea here? It doesn't feel like there's any marketing strategy aside from her thinking she's making this into a hobby or something.
And like, it's not like she ever like was someone.
No. Who,
like, I don't think that she has dressed necessarily badly over the course of her Bravo run.
It's just not her energy.
She's just
and
like
that's
dressed
okay.
like I'm a girl who goes to the Hamptons. I'm a normal and person. Lives, and like, and right. like, I like put like. I think she dresses up. I think like she does some fun stuff with color because she has like beautiful skin. Like, I think there's a lot, like, I think she likes clothes and it's like, oh, then I'll just like, I like clothes. I like shopping. And it's like, oh, there's a huge difference between being like, I like buying clothes for myself and like what Paige and Gabby do.
Right.
Which is being like much more involved in like the actual industry of sure. fashion and shopping. And like, you're not like, the thing is like, no one needs what she does.
I mean,
what this app does.
Well, so
and
that,
my friend looked into it, and you have to pay to join, and then you have to pay within the app for certain things. Why?
Wait, I thought it was literally Cher Horowitz's closet comes to an app where it's like you put in photos of what you have, and it matches what you should wear. It like makes outfits out of your wardrobe.
I think it's like you pay to join. My friend
Dawn,
was like,
the name of the app is Dawn.
Yeah, D-O-N-N-E. It's weird. Like, also, that word is spelled D-O-N. I don't know why we're.
I like get this. It. She's in fintech again.
Oh my god, fintech.
They spell words crazy.
They
it's
do.
How we know that they have a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get like I have a lot of clothes. I don't need to catalog everything I own. I know what goes together because I bought it. You know.
You know what? I actually. Could use an app like this, not for stuff that's like on display each and every day, but for the stuff that's like stuffed into closets.
Yeah.
It would be very helpful for me to have this, but I think I heard that like it doesn't actually really match it, or there aren't. I don't know.
I think you have to like then pay to have somebody like.
I'm not doing that. No,
and
it shouldn't cost me a single dollar.
But it's like
no.
In that case, like I will pay. You can hire like wardrobe organizers and stylists. Those are people. I guess this is significantly less money.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that. Like, there's money for that.
It's like that's what rich people do, but rich people won't use this app. They'll hire those people, and people who aren't rich enough to hire a personal stylist and a wardrobe organizer, I don't think want to pay any money for this amount. Like it just isn't the. There's such a narrow population of people that I think this is even for. That it seems like such a bad investment. And I am worried about her.
I think the difficulty here is that, like, on most levels, she had a very unlikable season. And I don't know why I would be looking at any of her products if she's...
It's no matter what.
But the difficulty is, like, I'm pretending she's the face of the app. She's not, which is a benefit. Like,
that's
she's not
good.
Saying, like, I'm selling this based on my personality.
Right.
Which is good.
She
that's not me trying to shade her. I'm
she
genuinely
the
saying
idea and
it stands
the,
on its
and
own
the,
feet.
The running of the company.
Right.
Is going to be the success of it. And I think that that's much better than running it off of her personality and face, just based on being having a couple rough years on Bravo.
Why didn't she do something dating related? Why didn't she do some like fun, like what do you do when a guy breaks your heart app, you know, message board
she
thing?
Also
that would have been great.
She travels a ton. Like what about
yes,
like a traveling
thing?
And then like there can always be a piece of it that's like kind of about clothes if that's like an interesting thing you want to keep doing. But like it should be like something that makes sense for who you are. And like maybe it's just not my like maybe I just don't think about her style in that way.
I don't think anybody does.
No.
She should have partnered.
I'm like, give us hair tips. I don't care. Like, you know, it's like anything that like that makes sense for you besides this. And then to show up at the reunion looking like that, even separate from it not matching the other girls, it was also just a head-to-toe really bad execution of a look.
Mm.
And that is not a good advertisement.
Yeah, because the whole point of her app is not necessarily to say, like, I have great style, but to say, like, we can help you put stuff
together. We can put something together.
That's tough.
Also, I don't like, again, I think there should be a premium that we can pay to Bravo to be like, just give me the raw footage
that I'm looking for. I want the whole reunion. Give me all 8 hours minus the bathroom breaks. Like, I want to see, because I want to know if Andy asked her about the app at all and how she talked about it, because it didn't make air.
She really only made air when they were cutting to her making like an awkward or amused
face. She didn't get grilled for like the Gabby shit. Like,
he didn't, did she?
And not really. And it's like, even if, like, let's say that they like did work their shit out and like they're actually good, we still should be talking about it because it happened.
So Andy went on his radio network. You might have heard of it.
Tell
called Radio Andy.
Mm, yes, of course.
And he said, or a caller called in or something. I heard the clip. He said something. The caller was essentially like, what the fuck? Like, you didn't really criticize any of the guys. Like, what?
Yeah.
And so his response was, you know, I'm getting dragged for this. I've gotten a lot of feedback about this. And essentially, I wish there had been three parts, because
we
that
all
did
wish there
happen.
Had been three parts, because two, like, it ended and I was like, oh.
Literally, why did that happen? It does not make any sense. And it's not like they have tons of content on air. Why didn't you give us three parts?
We could have used it. There's nothing on right now.
I know.
Except for New Jersey, which we'll talk about.
Which we'll talk about. It was an odd choice. But the thing that I thought was kind of interesting was he was, and this might be entirely truthful, he's saying, I grilled them. I did a heavy grill and editors chose not to include it. That is also the thing that every housewife says when they're under attack.
Exactly.
Is, you just didn't.
They got to hide behind.
It was
edit.
The edit. And I thought that was an odd choice. But I also think about the fact that, like, okay, let's take him at his word that he did a heavy grilling and, like, all of the men in that editing suite were like, we don't want this. We hate Lindsay.
Which, like, I'm not going to say that that's not an absolute possibility.
100% is possible. But then I think of the moments where we're talking about Amanda and Kyle, and Kyle gets into the whole, I knew that she was dealing with depression and anxiety, and so that's why I didn't want her to leave work, because I wanted to like support her, whatever fucking horseshit he was saying. We did not see Andy at any point
push back
and say, how does that add up to you? How does that like level with you calling your wife a fucking bitch?
Right.
Like, I don't think that's an editing thing. That's a genuine conversation style.
Yeah.
It was an odd.
Yeah. I am sure that Andy did ask a few other questions that we didn't see that maybe were a little bit more pointed that did get it. I believe that that's possible. I don't think that he equally grilled them and this was the edit. Like,
right.
I think that he was like, well, maybe that's mean. And they're like, okay. And it just wasn't interesting because like everybody was rolling with, I don't know. But I don't think he actually was like, explain yourself for this behavior, or like tell me why you think this was okay when she said and did this. Like, I don't think he did that kind of interviewing.
How do you how did you feel about the reunion as a whole? Like,
underwhelming. We could have used three parts. He did not hold the men accountable in any, and like, here's the thing. I have been for the last several years like a Kyle apologist in a lot of ways. I think I've been on this podcast and done it. I've certainly like in private conversations been like, because I think that there have been seasons where Kyle has exhibited growth, and Kyle reminds me of a lot of people that I grew up with and went to college with, and guys that like, I'm like, I know that type of guy. Mm-hmm. They're not all bad to their core. And some of them need to like grow up at some point. And there have been times that Kyle has exhibited the kind of growth that we see in Craig, not quite to the level, but like there have been times that Kyle's kind of like, he's had some good reunions where I think he is really articulate and in, I think he's pretty good at apologizing. He's done some good things. And like this season and reunion, I was like, Kyle, the fuck are you doing? Like, this is, I can't, there's not, no one can excuse this. Like, this is terrible. I'm sure you're miserable in your relationship, but like, so is she. You guys just get a divorce. Like, I need them to get divorced.
Do you think they're actually going to get divorced?
I don't know. The thing is, like, they could both do better for what they want. They could both get the kind of person they should be with. Do you know what I mean?
Say that again.
They're both with, like, if they got divorced, Amanda could find someone who is, like, handsome and rich and ready to move to the burbs and have a family. I think that there are men out there who are, like, aching for Amanda. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are women who are, like, go out, I'm going out, like, whatever, I'm never leaving Manhattan. And, like, Kyle could find those women. And, like, they're probably much younger, and then they'll probably end up in, like, you know, the same kind of situation we're in now. But, like, I think that it's not like they can't find people that are better matches for them. So I don't know why they're not just leaving this marriage.
I wonder, though, if there's a part of each of them in whatever way that sort of has either grown comfortable with that attention or seeks it with the, not even attention, with that tension of,
yeah,
I want something else than what you want. And mm-hmm. just that kind of,
that's what marriage challenge is.
Right.
Which is dark.
Yeah. But I think that's also the reality for people. It gets into this whole idea of opposites attracting. Well, what's the cost of that? It's right. not necessarily a cost for, not everyone looks at that as a cost. They look at it as like the adventure of right. it.
Yes. They think like that it should be kind of these ups and downs and right. connection and then disconnection. And I think that also like being on, I don't think that I would not say that like a lot of people like stay or break up for the shows. I do think that like those things that happen would happen without the shows often. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they're like planning like, OK, let's stay together because we like they might be a little bit like. We need the show because it's our income. And I don't know if Loverboy is profitable. Seems like not. I don't think that there's decisions being made because they're on the show. But I think that the being on the show for 7-8 years at this point, mm-hmm. 9, I think it does kind of warp your brain a little bit into what your non-show life should look like. So I feel like that across the board for Bravo. If you've been on a reality show or any reality show for a really long time, I think it probably is hard to think about your life the same way that like you or I think about our lives mm-hmm. because like we've never been on reality shows and we haven't been subject to what that experience is like. So I do think there's probably a piece of it that is like they don't even know how much they don't know about just being in a regular relationship because they've only ever been on camera together.
And how do you apply that kind of measurement to Lindsay and Carl?
I mean, thank God they got divorced. Or didn't get married.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Lindsay desperately, desperately wants to have the family that she didn't have growing up and wants to be a mother because she did not have her biological mother in her life for ever. And I think that also, like, and I think it's also true that, like, Lindsay wants that fairy tale to play out on television. She wants to be on TV. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be on TV. Like, I don't like when that gets used as like, well, she just wants to be on TV. It's like, well, that's her job. So
yeah, she should want it.
She should want it. Otherwise, like, I don't
we
know.
Want someone to want it.
I want people to want to be on TV and yeah. to want to be on these shows because you see when people don't really want to and they're like, I think about like some early Summer House people like Amit and it's like, you could tell that guy was like, I mean, I guess I'll sign up for this. But like, and then he was like barely on and like, I think we want people that want to be on TV to be on TV. And I think that, like, it's not bad for her to want a fairy tale good thing to happen to her and to be on television as, like, look how great my life is and look how good this story is. Like, I think that that's what Lindsay always wanted. And Carl was briefly like, I could give that to you, but I don't. But ultimately, like, no, he couldn't.
When it comes to like a little
and
bit
he's an asshole, I think.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like when it comes to like the Carl backlash and then a backlash to the backlash and then another backlash again.
Yes.
What was your reaction to the public response to Carl and your own?
Well, I see it. There's a darkness in Carl. Like there's a real darkness. I think there's a lot of stuff that he has not. I don't know if all these people just see that one awful Bravo therapist or like what's happening. But like, I think he has been through some serious stuff and needs some serious, serious help that I hope he is searching for in like a mental health, like real professionals, not just people who will like talk to you on camera and be like, I'm a therapist. I'm like, ah,
right.
No, like, and it sounds like, you know, with his sobriety or like his non-drinking, non-cocaine journey, like I think he is, from what he tells us, like really moving through that. But I think that there's a lot that just like comes out in like real anger and real rage and real mistreatment of other people. And do I think Carl's like an evil, terrible person? No. Do I think that Carl has too much to deal with to be a good person right now? Yes. And I think that like that person shouldn't be on TV. That person shouldn't be making promises to other people. Like I think
he strung Lindsay along. I think he knew for a long time he was going to break up with her before the wedding, or was going to like go through with the wedding and then be like, this isn't working. Like, I don't think that Carl, for the last year that we've seen him on television, has been like this is it and we are going to work this out and be married. I don't think he has been thinking that for a long time. And I think that that's like embarrassing Lindsay publicly. And that's like the last thing Lindsay wants is to be embarrassed. Now, did he give her a hero's, I mean, everybody, you know, the reunion was bad, but I do think that, like, at least Lindsay gets to look like she finally found the guy she's with now, it sounds like, is a thing. And, like, the happy ever, like, she can still have a fairy tale and she gets to be, like, slightly, like, not a victim, but, like, a...
She's in a better, she seems to be in a more positive light. Yeah. She's more embraced by maybe members of the audience. Yes.
I don't think it's good that he broke up with her and publicly humiliated her. That's bad. But, like, I'm glad at least that there is a narrative for Lindsay that she can kind of grasp onto in this moment of like, look at me doing better than ever after this piece of shit ruined my life. I hope she has. I hope that that continues for her because that's like the least he owes her.
Additionally, Andy obviously was not thrilled, nor I assume was production, with Lindsay's narrative around the breakup because he held her.
Yeah.
He dragged her a little bit when he was like,
that's just not so how production works.
Just so we're all on the same page, that literally didn't happen. And when she tried after the fact to be like, and when he called, Andy was like, no, Carl did not call production. This was a production decision. What were your thoughts on that moment?
It's so hard because the narrative has been since that breakup that that's what happened.
Yes.
So it's hard for me because I'm like, well, that's the truth because that's what I've been hearing for the past 8 months. Mm-hmm. Andy, I think, doesn't fuck around with how production works when he talks about it because it seems like that's his job is to like mm-hmm. protect the people who make these shows. What do you think? I can't tell what I think is. I think it might be kind of somewhere in the middle.
I think that Lindsay was saying Carl literally called production and that pissed off production and Andy.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a gray area of like, did Carl know in his heart that he did not want to be with this person anymore? And also, does he maybe hate her? That is a separate conversation. But because Lindsay did go on a little bit of a PR blitz, and God bless her for it, and said that he was conspiring with production.
Yes, to break up with her on camera.
Right. If that conversation literally didn't take place, you're going to have people who are upset mm-hmm. that a cast member is saying that. And added on to that, is it entirely possible that while Carl may not have explicitly said, I need you to come over Wednesday at 3 p.m. so I can break up with Lindsay, that there was an obvious feeling that things were not going great. Mm-hmm. So obvious that production was like, stuff is not going great. We need to like kind of figure this out and pick up cameras. That's also entirely possible. Maybe they didn't know he was going to break up with her in that moment, but everyone was aware this wasn't good to such an extent that they wanted to film.
The way they ended, you knew, and it's like, again, we don't know what footage they had, but they're all packing up and leaving the house, and we did the kind of like lights out mm-hmm. in every room thing. Normally we do that with the big last party. Everybody like jumps in the pool naked and then all the lights go out or whatever. But we had them literally fighting and Lindsay being like, I'm not getting in the car with him. Of course, production was like, the story's not over. We're mm-hmm. probably going to need to check in with them in a minute. I think that it's probably something in between where like, production knew they wanted a final check-in with them in some way because that was a fight. We need to see some kind of resolution to it, whether it's that they're better or that they're not. And I think they talked to, and I think that they probably like alerted, I think that Lindsay probably was in these conversations. I don't think they just reached out to Carl to be like, how's it going? Mm. Like, I think that they reached out to them being like, hey, like, we're going to pick up some more scenes at some point just to get a, you know, you guys are moving towards your wedding. I'm sure that also Lindsay was trying to swing some kind of production for the wedding. It shouldn't have been surprising. I think that then like they, when Carl talked to them, he was probably like, yeah, let's get a sit down. I think Carl knew I'm going to wrap this up. We're not doing this, but he didn't tell them that's what he was doing. They wanted some kind of check-in knowing things were bad. They set a call time and that was the thing.
And this is like very easy for me to say, but I do think it's also like, regardless of whether or not Carl knew in that moment and if his knowledge was subconscious or conscious, to me, the bigger question is, you know, you're talking about how you hate this lady. So like, let's have a conversation about that, about where the anger comes from, because you can directly connect his anger over the level of manipulation he feels that Lindsay involves herself in, that he's talking about, you cast yourself as a victim, you always do this, you're incredibly manipulative, XYZ. He's saying a lot of terrible things to her. I would think that is probably something to be discussed regardless of them breaking up. And yet it really wasn't unpacked at all. To me, like as a viewer, as a woman watching, and again, so easy for me to say, and I haven't been in that position before, because Chris Manzo refuses to marry me to this point. I keep waiting for that goddamn ring. I have a ring we can use. His mom can make a congratulations lasagna. Like, I'm here for it. It's easy for me to say sort of regardless of the breakup, but like, we're not even getting into the anger that you feel about this person who was your partner.
Yeah.
How is that not being unpacked?
Like, we really, and like, yeah, I think it was a very odd reunion discussion of this breakup, because I feel like on every other major breakup, like, we get into the emotions, we get into like, how did we get here? And I feel like we didn't really, it was all focused on the breakup conversation and the early in the season fights and a little bit of like the job stuff. Also in that finale when Carl was like, I want to be an actor, I was like, sure.
He's like, he like worked on a movie. He produced it.
I think he was.
He's like doing it.
Oh, okay. Well,
he doesn't know what's going on.
Well,
he could be great.
I think he was living in LA and like wanted to be an actor before the show started.
So maybe he should.
As several people that are in the Bravo universe.
Sure.
It just felt like we didn't really dig in to like how they both have. I don't know. It felt this very like surface, like we're going to talk about exactly the episode events. And it's like, well, let's talk about like what's going on here a little bit more. How we got like the how we how did we get to this? How did we get to that kind of fighting at the end of the season?
I think the show production, whomever, took for granted that everybody understood they needed to break up. And so we skipped over a lot of this because
I think the TLDR is
like, we're just so happy they're no longer together. But that's not, you can't have that sentence and move on when the whole purpose of the show is talking about these people's
also
lives.
That we were sitting on the fact that they had split up for so long before we saw the reunion. That like, I think it was a little bit like, it's kind of like, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, everybody knew. You've all seen the season. Like, they shouldn't be together. We know they broke up. Let's just get into like the specifics of the breakup. It's like, no, I still want to get to like how this hell happened.
Well, that was another part two of what Andy was saying on Radio Andy, which was like someone saying essentially that he seemed gleeful in talking about the breakup. And his response was like, yeah, I probably was, because I was happy that they no longer were together. And it's like, I get that. Like, I genuinely get his answer. You could see that in my reactions to stuff, too. I think a lot of people were just like,
thank God.
And we're like, relieved. And we're jumping to jokes rather, because it's like, yes, thank God they're no longer together. This is, you know, it is what it is. It's not like people are fighting for these people to stay together. However, there was a lot here at risk for both of these people. The stakes were super huge. It's something actually that Paige noted when she talked about West treating all of this like a circus, where he's texting the group cast,
you're like, what a season,
and saying like, this is the best season you guys have ever had. And Paige is saying, but these are two people. I'm glad she said it needed
to be
said. These are two people whose lives have fallen apart. Like, they thought they were going to be together, and you're looking at it just through the lens of like, this is great TV. I think that there was a level of that throughout the course of the reunion, including Andy's behavior, which I don't begrudge. I completely understand it.
And he's,
but you're missing it. It's a stopgap.
Well, I think it's also because Lindsay so transparently wants to be on TV and is a polarizing figure in a way where, when like, because I mean, she kept comparing it to, which it's not like at all. But when you think about Scandoval, like Ariana, beloved, always was. And then Tom, like, I think that like Tom Sandoval pre the final season. To me, it's the final season of That's how I recognize
that. That says a lot.
Vanderpump Rules. Mm. You know, season 9 or whatever it was, 10?
10 was Scandal.
I think he was less polarizing until that season than Lindsay has been in her entire, like, I think that because Lindsay is so, and I'm somebody who does not like Lindsay. I like her being on TV.
Oh, yeah?
I like that she's on TV. Okay. I like watching her, but I don't like, like, she's,
got it.
Her conflict style scares me, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Ugh, it makes me stress
she's
out.
She's very aggressive.
But she's very good at being on TV, and, like, I like her on TV as, like, she's not a villain to me, but she's somebody that, like, I can hate watch, kind of. Like, I don't hate her. I don't think she's a bad person, but, like, I don't like her in a way that I felt kind of neutral on Ariana and Sandoval. Like I didn't. I think a lot of people feel so intensely about Lindsay that we didn't get the emotionally exploratory conversations, mm-hmm. because I think everybody's like, yeah, she loves this, and, like, oh, she, like, just wants to be on TV. And I think, like, we miss a little bit of, like, Lindsay has a lot of interiority. That's why she's really good at being on TV. And I mm-hmm. wish we could have, like, gotten into it more. Those are my thoughts.
And how are we feeling about West? What's your AIM away message right now about West?
I mean, I don't hate the idea of him returning to the house for another season as somebody that I won't like.
Really?
I think that, like, I want Sierra to fuck Jesse and have that be dramatic. I don't know. I want some, like, I don't know. I'm just saying anything. Like,
I'm giving eyes.
I know. It's like, I think he sucks. I think he is very, I know exactly, like, the type of guy that is where, like, oh, he's quote unquote less hot than, like, if you, like, put him, like, all the discussions of, like, him and Jesse.
Such a weird conversation, by the way, because I think he's very super cute. Attractive.
Yeah, very yeah, attractive.
Very
but
odd.
But, like, you know.
Pretending he's, like, not.
But he kind of, like, you know, he has the mustache. He, like, dresses a little bit.
Yeah.
It's, like, he puts on a specific look.
Yeah.
And he is, like, and I think he is incredibly charming. I bet he's super fun to hang out with. I bet that, like, all of the stuff that Sierra really liked about him is real. And I think, like, I think he really shit all over that, and I hope that she never, I hope he wants to be with her and she never takes him back. Like, she is, I love all the memes of people being like, I don't watch this show, but is that beautiful woman, like, sad that this loser rejected her? Like, I mean, looking at them next to, she's Naomi Campbell, like, she's beautiful, mm-hmm. she's a nurse, and, like, I don't know, she deserves so much better. I think that the best thing that West did was make me really understand, like, why Sierra is great, because she's kind of been a little bit of a flop for me after her first season. I was just like, all right, this girl just, like, hangs out in bed and likes Austin. I'm like, also, like, let's get her to therapy and, like, figure out why she keeps going for these men.
Mm.
But, like, I think, like, I was like, oh, I kind of, like, get Sierra now. And I, like, think that she is, like, I'm like, oh, there's, like, this, I'm like, I didn't know that she was, like, hiking through all the national parks. Like, we haven't seen this side of her. And I thought that, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got to see this. I'm ready for kind of a Sierra, like, ascension. You know, I'm not that she, like, she's, like, hot and ombre. Good for her. Oh, yeah. She's doing great.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see, like, what the dynamic is with, like, him maybe seeing other women while she's in the house, her dating other guys while, like, he has to deal with that. Like, they're, like, as a viewer wanting conflict, I'm, like, interested. As somebody who wants Sierra to be protected emotionally, I'm like, banish him from all of the Hamptons, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's 100% coming back. I mean, he was 100%.
He was a great addition.
He really was. Like, Wes and Jesse were
my friend casted Jesse.
Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
That's all I know.
Okay.
She works in casting, and she, like, found him for Summer House, and she was working on, like, bringing in, I don't know exactly how that works, or, like, what, I have a, like, friend being somebody I'm friends with that I don't
Holy
talk to
a shit.
But I'm like, what a, I mean, she's very good at her job.
That's he a cocktail a party. That's something you bring up at everything, because that is, she struck gold,
because he's a great addition, and he was someone who, like, at first I was like, oh, mm-hmm. good addition, but, like, I don't know if I like the guy, but, like, great for the mix. And, like, coming out of it, I was like, oh, like, you know, sided with the boys a little more often. But I get how that happens. And I think, like, ultimately, like, someone I want to keep watching.
Totally. This is also the thing that sometimes we've, what the thing that sometimes happens on Housewives or on other TV where like you see the star, super charismatic, you fall in love with them, but it's really actually the friend who becomes the person that you really cherish, that you like so much more, that deserves the respect.
Yes.
I feel like that's absolutely the West and Jesse Solomon journey. But I also think with West, the difficulty here is that it's sort of like the audience is responding in a way that shows so much forceful anger and frustration toward West, which I certainly understand and appreciate. But there's that moment where Sierra's like, is there potential? Is there the possibility?
She's like, I don't know.
If she's leaving the door open, I think there's a little bit of a tension right now with the audience.
Yeah.
Because the initial reaction was like, slam that door shut.
Yes.
Do we have the quote unquote right to be angrier at West than Sierra is? If we feel like we want to stand up and support, and this isn't a criticism of Sierra at all. This is like the weird...
parasocial relationship between reality stars and the people that watch the show.
And the tension with the reality itself, because like I want to ride hard for Sierra. I want to like support her and defend her. I certainly did on prior episodes. And it's also the realization that like, wait, and I get it because she still has feelings for this person. They don't go away. Like I love her all the more for expressing it.
We all understand and have all been in a place of like someone has hurt us in some way, and there is still a piece of you that's like, but I care about them. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that doesn't mean you're gonna like rush back into their arms or like come the second they call you, but like it does, like
it was real.
That's real. And I like, and again, that's why I liked watching this season so much, is seeing Sierra like kind of be more real than we've seen in previous seasons, whether that's her comfort on camera, the edit, the people around her, like whatever it is. But like I felt like what a great season for Sierra. Sadly ended, you know, with heartbreak. Mm-hmm. But I mean, going into her next season, like we are Sierra stans, like in a way that I don't think people were until recently.
I didn't know enough of her.
Yes, she exactly
for many reasons, many of them understandable, did not show that to us. And I'm so appreciative just for like the gift of what we've been given of her sharing her vulnerability. I wish it hadn't come at the cost of her experiencing like the pain and grief of being used. And I don't think it makes me a conspiracy theorist, whatever. I do think, and I will hold this true for as long as I live until I'm 736 years old, but I'm quite young. So
I know it's weird because we're in our 20s, but also old.
We're in our spiritual 20s, so I don't know how that math works. But the thing that I continue to hold so true and dear is that he betrayed her and used her, and he knew what being physically intimate and having sex with her meant. He knew it,
he knew.
And he didn't
respect it.
She told him a lot, and he did not respect her in the way that she told him she deserved to be respected.
Yeah.
And for the rest of my life, and the way that's been repositioned of like him just saying like it wasn't going to work out, that is neither here nor there. She told you a boundary, and he used it.
I demanded to cross it, and she finally was like comfortable enough to let that boundary down. And then you did the exact thing you promised you wouldn't do. Like, fuck you.
And he used her meeting his family and going to a wedding, and he gets to ride off now and be like, well, I just didn't know that was a big deal. She told you repeatedly it was a big deal. She asked you what is meaningful to you because you say and do these things that I think are a big deal, that are a big deal to me, that aren't for you. She told him what her definition of intimacy meant, what her definition of commitment meant, the way that people had mistreated her before. He had the opportunity of accessing fucking Peacock and a DVR to see exactly what happened with her in prior relationships, and he didn't respect it because he wanted to fuck her.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean he's the devil, but I'm not going to pretend that this didn't happen.
No.
Because I think we deserve to have that respected. And like her deciding that she wants to maybe make stuff work with him, she has every right to make that decision, but
absolutely,
it's not going to make his behavior okay.
No. And like, and I think like there's this kind of discussion with like dating in general, I think, where it's like people have different definitions of like what is casual, what is serious, what is exclusive, what is a big deal. Like to some people, like I know I've like talked to people I know who are like, to me, it's not a big deal if I bring you to a wedding, but I understand, not to me.
Someone saying, like, to me,
if I bring a date to a wedding, that's not necessarily like an indication of a next step.
I think probably depending on the wedding. But like if I bring you to my friend's wedding and like you come and we have a good time, like that doesn't necessarily mean I'm like leveling up our relationship. But to that person, it does. And it's like, then just be then if you know that, then you can't do that.
Mm.
If it is a big, if it is not a big deal to you and it's a big deal to the other person and they have let you know, just because it's not a big deal to you doesn't mean you get to still do it and live in the standards of what you think is mm-hmm. something. Like you are together making it like a decision because you're asking somebody to cross a boundary that they've set. If they agree, then you like that's the deal. I don't know. I just it really watching West. I think a lot of people. I felt, and I'm sure a lot of other, specifically women probably did, women who date men, really, like, I was like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of relationships that I've had in this person. Maybe not the specifics of what happened, but the behavior.
Yeah, and I think for me, what was triggering was not just his behavior, but his writing it off of like, oh, like, aw, shucks, like, I just didn't know. When someone tells you repeatedly what is meaningful to them, and then you pretend that you weren't aware,
right.
and you pretend that you don't have the choice to change your behavior, this is just who you are,
right.
that is, like, deeply frustrating, 'cause right. that is the experience of being a woman who chooses to date men. Yeah. I mean, that just feels very specific, especially in New York, which is the worst place.
Well, he's the
just in general.
I know.
It's just generally it just the is. Worst.
He's the definition of like a New York or LA or whatever. But I think like specific, like New York, like explicitly of there are so many women here and you can all like there's always someone around the corner. And I think that he had that thought the whole where it's like, oh, this is great for now. We'll see. Like, and it's like, that's every guy. And it's like, okay, well, if she's saying I'm not a we'll see girl, then you don't get access to her.
Mm.
But
yeah, you have to be kind. Yeah. And that's the, this is like the, what's that whole thing about like people in LA are nice
but not kind.
Right. And people in New York.
Kind but not nice.
Right. I think that there's something to be said for West behavior versus Sierra's that does not look well upon West and certainly does look well upon Sierra.
Yeah.
And I also think this is like the new generation of bro culture where it's like, we're feminists, like we're friendly, we're fun, we're nice. Until I want to fuck you. And then guess what?
I'm doing whatever I want.
Looks super similar to what my ancestors told me was going on 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, also, we've been recording for 7 hours. Can we do a part two? What time do you have to leave?
I'm free.
Okay, great. So I technically have therapy in an hour, but we can Zoom. Okay, guys, we're going to shift over to part two. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing in my head about the text I'm going to be sending my psychiatrist. I'm like, I need to run late. We're going to talk about Jen Aiden. So we're going to shift over to part two now to unpack all things RHONJ. So listen to that episode tomorrow. That's right. A New Jersey deep dive. We'll be out tomorrow, so make sure you subscribe to this sassy little social experiment, and you will be the first to hear it. Thanks so much for listening. We will chat with you soon.